Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Ben Standing's with us like he is every Monday at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. He writes for The Athletic. He's got a podcast called Last Man Standing. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk reported this morning, take it for what it's worth, that the Bengals' offer to Trey Hendrickson was a lowball $28 million a year offer. One of the reasons he's been very upset. Just comparatively, you're talking about Max Crosby just signing for $35.5 million per year. Miles Garrett just getting a deal at $40 million per year. But even a guy like Danielle Hunter, who is in the age category of Trey Hendrickson, he makes $35.6 million. This would put him $28 million if he accepted it in sort of that 6 to 10 range of pass rushers. So the if true, that is what I would refer to as a low ball offer. I think that is a fair description to Trey Hendrickson. How it plays out, who knows? Ben's with us. You know, this has been kind of a conversation that we hit on one out of every two times we talk, going back to, you know, pre-draft. Something's got to happen there. I doubt he's going to play for $16 million, which is what he's going to get paid this coming season, and then hope that the Bengals don't franchise him in free agency. Where are you today? He re-signs and plays in Cincinnati. He gets traded. He just holds out and doesn't play.
So the report is he got offered $28 million a year, an average of $28 million a year for X amount of years.
Yep.
Okay, so that actually to me says that he's gonna sign there because that's more than I was guessing. I mean, yes, it's certainly lower than some of the other guys that you mentioned, and obviously Trey Hendrickson has been, you know, pretty really really good the last few years. But you know, if we're gonna go with some sort of like a you know, a negotiation thing. Okay, in my head, I was thinking 30.
That's their latest offer.
Right. So I'm saying if that's the latest offer, then, like, I don't know what exactly his side was looking for, but to me, like, $30 million sort of seemed to be, like, a reasonable number potentially. And so that's not that far apart. I was thinking it might be even more further apart than that. So that actually, to me, sort of bodes well. I mean, look, Trey Hendrickson's been around for a while. He doesn't give a crap about this offseason workout program, right? No, none of these guys really want to get involved in that. And now he has been very public about it, obviously. So it's not, he's clearly, you know, not happy about the situation. But like you said, you're not going to play on the $16 million. And at the same time, you know, sitting out, you're not getting the money back. And he's going to get fined and all these things. So I don't know. It sounds to me like there actually might be more of an opportunity there than I was thinking, you know, otherwise, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, if he's steadfast in thinking there's a certain number that if he doesn't get, he's not going to play, then, you know, maybe that's where this goes. But if they're up to that, I don't think 30 is that far away.
Yeah, I don't know that I see it the same way. I mean, like, you got to consider Micah Parsons is going to sign, more likely than not, a huge deal. So, you know, when you get Garrett, Hunter, Crosby, and Bosa all at 30, and then you add Parsons all at 34 plus, he wants to be in the top three. They're probably a long way apart from where what he's looking for and what they're offering. Doesn't mean they won't get there, but it might be a long way away. We'll see. The other thing I saw this morning, you know, again, the time of year where there's just a lot of, hey, there are free agents still out there. What are the right fits? And Matt Bowen wrote that the best fit for J.K. Dobbins, the running back that was in L.A. with the Chargers last year, would be Washington. I know that we've had conversations about guys like Dobbins and Chubb. Do you think they're set at running back, or do you think that they are still looking?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this to some degree. In a mailbag I did recently, one of the questions was like, sort of, so who would you guess would be this year's like Jahan Dotson Ridgeway, guys who, you know, get traded to get back extra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dotson in particular was a surprise.
Right.
Brian Robinson was sort of the one I was like, you know, I don't know necessarily what to think about a trade, but just because of the position. But yeah, I still wonder about that spot to a degree. I mean, you know, based on what they have right now, I think there is a legit opportunity for the rookie Kraske Merritt to get involved. Again, I'm not going to say he's the starter by any stretch of the imagination. And obviously Eckler is better, you know, less is more in terms of usage, and Jeremy McNichols was a solid backup last year, but that's kind of all it is. So the question is like, what else could they do? And I do think one of the issues with Robinson is like, it's just kind of, when he's in the game, he's a non-threat as a pass catcher. He basically had just like one catch a game more or less last year. He's at best okay as a pass blocker, and obviously the running itself kind of faded down the stretch, and, you know, I don't know if they view it as an issue with him or the line was problematic. Obviously, they did go out and add, new pieces for the line. But, yeah, I still think, like, in the overall context of a Cliff Kingsbury offense, that to me still seems like the one spot
yep.
where they're missing something. And Dobbins, look, the question with him has been health primarily, right? So, he had a big, devastating injury when he was at the Ravens, came back last year to the Chargers, you know, maybe an extra year removed would help the cause. So, you know, in theory, if he's healthy, he is the type of back I think would make some sense. And, yeah, I still wonder if there is an opportunity here for Washington to make a move. Again, they may be set. They may think, hey, Robinson was very effective, particularly the first half of the year in short yardage situations and all that. But, I think that's a spot where if you told me something was going to happen, I would be not surprised.
Yeah, Dobbins, is younger, much younger than Nick Chubb by a few years. He had an MCL sprain last year, missed four games, rushed for 905 yards. He's got breakaway potential, but he's had a lot of injuries, man. I mean, he had an ACL, he had an Achilles. He's had a number of injuries during the course of his year. But last year, despite missing four games, 905 rushing yards and tied a career high in rushing touchdowns with nine. I could still see that. I could still see something happening there. And to your point, moving on from somebody for, a day three pick as well in the process. I'll ask you the question that I asked callers. I had somebody send me a note saying, this year would be the first time in 20 years, I think we all know this, that if Philadelphia were to win the division, that the NFC East would have a repeat division winner. So I'll ask you, does Philly break the trend and repeat for the first time in 20 years, an NFC East champion repeating, or do we have a new NFC East champion in 2025?
Well, history would tell me to definitely say they don't repeat, because that's crazy trend. But I think the Eagles got it. I don't know what, like, say the odds makers have put this, but I would think they're still a pretty decent favorite.
They are.
To repeat, I mean, we've gone through in the past, Washington's you know, not discounting what they did last year, but just, you know, it's a very different deal. They're not going to sneak up on anybody's harder schedule, better quarterbacks, whatever. Philly just has still so much going for them. I mean, obviously, you know, if something happens to the quarterback, then, you know, that you can, you know, who knows. And yeah, they did lose a couple of pieces on the defensive line, but they still have plenty of bodies there. You know, I would say today Philly's going to repeat. I think actually I wrote when the schedule came out and we had to write something on The Athletic about the Commanders, I had to do a prediction order for the division, and I had Philly first. But, you know, look, you know, history says don't be so sure, you know, and I think a lot of us are probably to some degree discounting Dallas a bit because last year, you know, was not that great. They've just been kind of meh. But, you know, look, they have plenty of talent, you know, between Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and others. And, you know, I won't put the Giants as a potential category, but I also think they're better than their record would suggest last year by a decent amount. But yeah, I would still say Philly to me would be hard to argue against them not being the team to beat and the team that does get it done.
I'm sure you saw this, but I don't know that everybody listening saw this. So on Friday, the Jets released Greg Zuerlein. We all remember the kick that Greg Zuerlein made on Christmas Eve 2023 to beat Washington, just snuck inside the left upright, and that ended up being the difference between Washington selecting second in the 2024 draft versus what more likely than not would have been fourth in the NFL draft, and Jaden Daniels ended up being there at second. But the other thing, and I'm not sure people heard about this from late last week, but Seth Wickersham's got a book coming out on quarterbacks, and a big part of that book has been excerpted, you know, over the last few days, the parts involving Caleb Williams and how much Caleb Williams and his father Carl Williams tried to circumvent the NFL draft and try to influence where Caleb went, because Carl Williams did not want him playing for Chicago. He told several agents that. He told Seth Wickersham that in the book. Seth, and it goes on and on. I talked about this on Friday, Ben. I'm assuming you've read a lot about some of the Caleb Williams, Carl Williams lead up to the 2024 draft. But Seth Wickersham on a Chicago radio station on Friday said that the Bears, quote, never even scouted Jaden Daniels, closed quote. To think that you've got the number one pick in the draft and the player that you've fallen in love with and are convinced should be your pick at number one doesn't want to play for you. And he's made that very clear. He and his father have made that very clear, that you wouldn't even look at the other quarterbacks is insane. Now, he didn't say any other quarterback wasn't scouted. He said the Bears did not scout Jaden Daniels. So between Greg Zuerlein and the Bears not scouting Daniels, Washington ended up with Jaden Daniels at number two. Not to say that if the Bears had scouted Daniels, that he would have been the number one pick. But, man, there is always kind of this very sharp, fine line between, you know, 12-5 and 5-12.
Yeah, look, I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, look, we just witnessed this with you know, the NBA draft lottery. The Wizards do all the right things in terms of losing, and they don't, the ping pong balls don't bounce their way. In this case, Washington needed the Jets needed the Zuerlein to make that kick to avoid winning. And I guess they needed the Bears to just be so tunnel vision on Caleb Williams. Now, I find it hard to believe that they didn't scout him. I don't know what that means exactly, because, you know, obviously you're going to have people all over the country, and LSU is a big program. But okay, that aside, I remember in real time thinking, this is really kind of odd that they are so locked in. Like we knew they were taking Caleb Williams, you know, weeks before the number. I mean, it wasn't even like we were just speculating. Like, they were pretty apparent about it, that that's what they were doing. And, you know, if their assessment was that Caleb Williams was a guy, so be it. But, you know, in the lead up to that draft, I mean, you know, a lot of people were like, hey, Caleb Williams is pretty good. When I did a survey that year that I wrote about, like, hey, rank these quarterbacks. And Caleb Williams was viewed as the number one, but some people thought Jaden Daniels was the guy to take. And, I think the whole Caleb Williams story that just came out, or the report that just came out from Seth Wickersham, there was a couple things that really bothered me. One, the fact that, like, and I saw Ross Tucker say this online and made me think of this, like, the fact that they're even talking to a writer about this publicly is one thing to question, that I would question the Bears if I were them. But, like, they openly talked about it with a reporter is curious. Like, what, you know, that to me doesn't bode well for, like, sort of decision making. And then he says that nobody he watches film alone because nobody taught him how to.
Right.
You got to be kidding me with this. He was being prepped to be this guy since high school. Like, we all, you know, we knew it was a big deal when he went to Oklahoma, then to USC, because he was viewed as the number one guy. And it wasn't just because he was here in D.C., although that was a large part of it. Like, he was that guy. Then he gets to Oklahoma and he's at USC. He's got Lincoln Riley as his coach. Lincoln Riley, who's coached Baker Mayfield and Jalen Hurts, and, like, he's the guy that's, like, you know, he became the hot quarterback guru for college coaches. You're telling me that guy didn't help you in that regard? I don't know. That seems pretty weird. And it just brings up to the point that, you know, we focus so much on the physical aspects of these guys, but it's also the other aspects of it, the being the leader. And you know, one of the things with Jaden that we've heard over and over again is just how much he is respected in that building. Same thing from what I heard at LSU too, but just, you know, he is a leader by example. Last year, he did, you know, I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal. Did he say one wrong thing? I don't think he did.
I don't think he said one wrong thing since this season ended. There's been zero controversial moments with Jaden Daniels. Zero, right?
Right. Yeah, no, nothing. I mean, as the reporter sitting there, sometimes like, hey, come on, say something fun. But yeah, no, he says nothing, nothing. So, like, and none of his teammates say anything. There's no whispering, nothing. So, like, that is a huge component, especially for that position, you know, because it is, you know, the face of the franchise. You're going to be the leader on offense at a minimum, if not the whole team. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if the Bears were so blinded by what they viewed as the better talent. And again, well, Caleb Williams may ultimately turn out to be great.
Yeah, who knows?
He's the better quarterback, all that. But, you know, yes, I mean, in terms of it does seem like there may be some tunnel vision. I find it hard to believe they didn't scout him, quote unquote, but they clearly fell in love with Caleb Williams early on and had the tunnel vision to take him. So, yeah, I think there's still a red flag there. And this Wickersham thing, does not change that for me.
Yeah, the only thing in reading through the excerpts, and the book's not out yet, is that what struck me is I certainly consider as a possibility that this was a lot more about his father than it was about him. And in those situations, sometimes you have to understand he is still, you know, 22, 23 years old, and the father's been a big part of, you know, the process everywhere in his life. Because, you know, at one point there is this visit with the Bears, and Caleb just says to his dad, I can make this work. You know, I can do it for this team. I'm going to the Bears. And then his father kind of relented after that. So you don't know how much was the kid versus the father. My guess is it was probably a lot more the father. A lot of smoke, a lot of dust kicked up around that draft choice, not nearly as much about Jaden Daniels. I mean, the most we read about Jaden Daniels when we're not talking football is about his mother. And I listened to that interview with Ryan Clark the other day on his podcast. I thought she was pretty impressive. But, you know, you never really know for sure. Crazy, though, that if the, you know, what level of scouting, I'm sure they looked at him. Did they sit down? Did they spend as much time with him as they should have? I just can't imagine that their attention wouldn't have turned away from Caleb at some point to consider seriously the other options once they made it clear to the team, we don't want to play for you. You know, not that they have a choice in today, in the way it's structured. Stafford. But at that point, given how deep that quarterback draft was, I can't imagine that they wouldn't have at least really seriously considered a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels. But apparently they didn't. All right.
I mean, at a minimum, if they had, like, I don't know what New England was thinking, but again, at a minimum, if you traded, if New England really wanted Caleb Williams, you traded down from 1 to 3, you would still get Drake May. So yeah, it's hard to believe that they didn't explore all their options. But at the same point, they really locked it in pretty early. By the way, can I go back to the Trey Hendrickson thing for a quick second?
Sure.
All right, so I'm looking here just at the list of the salaries for edge rushers. Of the guys who are higher paid, the only two guys who are he's 31 or will be at the start of the year. So T.J. Watt and Danielle Hunter are the only other two guys who are 31. Myles Garrett is 30. Danielle Hunter had to leave. He switched teams to get the new deal. So, like, most of the other guys are younger. And I bring this up because, you know, we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Terry McLaurin. And I think it's going to be a little bit of the same conversation, perhaps. I mean, I'm not saying they won't get something done. But of all the players who are currently...
He's older.
The top guys are Ja'Marr Chase, 25, Jefferson, 26, Lamb, 26, Metcalf, 28, A.J. Brown, 28. And, yeah, so I do, like, that's the one thing, like, statistically, Trey Hendrickson should get, you know, what those guys are getting and Terry the same. But that would be the one thing held against them. The only receiver the same age or older than Terry at the start of the year is going to be Tyreek Hill. All the other guys who were paid more than him were, you know, anywhere from, you know, 1 to 5 years younger. So that's the age thing, I think, is where I wonder if the Hendrickson side and the Bengals can ultimately work something out. That, like, if that's the variable, then they can find some ground as opposed to disagreeing over, like, how good he actually is or something.
Yeah, I think these pass rushers probably have a little bit more longevity to their careers than wide receivers. And 28 puts him, you know, like eighth among edge rushers. And he's got 35 sacks in the last 2 years, clearly number one in the league. I've guessed all along it was going to be north of $30 million a year, and it's going to be, you know, for it to be in the top three, and if you even consider Micah Parsons, it's going to have to be at 35-plus, which is why 28 seems a little lowballish to me. But it wouldn't be the first time, you know, for the Bengals mode.
It's also, and you may have said this in apologies, but like $28 million right now, that's where Josh Allen and the Jags is getting the defensive end. The next highest is Nick Bosa at 34. So there's a massive gap there. So basically, if this is an accurate report, the Bengals are taking the highest of that lower tier, and there's a big gap. So it all seems like that's a more negotiation, it seemed like they were being more hardline. Based on earlier.
Look, if you think 30 is the right number, then it's negotiation. If 35 is the number, it's lowball.
I don't think 35 is the number.
Top five, it's going to have to be close to 35 because we've got Bosa is fourth right now at $34 million with Crosby, Hunter, and Myles Garrett ahead of him.
I think
if he wants to be in the top five, it's going to have to be 34 plus. But you know, Micah Parsons is certainly going to get 35 plus.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think there's a world where, like, maybe the deal is if it's a slightly lower number than the Hendrickson side wants, then give him lower years or a player option on the third year or something along those lines, so he can get back out there. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, if it's 28, they're specifically picking a number that is below the top tier. So it feels like that type of negotiation. But, you know, again, we'll see.
All right, my friend. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Awesome, man. See ya.
Okay. Something Scott McLuhan said to me last week, a lot of you weighed in on. I'll go back to that. And then I haven't had a chance yet to kind of share with you my thoughts on NBA's Game 7 yesterday in Oklahoma City. We'll do that as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Jerry, Kevin, loved the interview with Scott McLuhan. Still can't believe how dysfunctional the organization was. He wanted Diggs and Snyder said no. Then this from Stephen H. Stephen H. writes, why do you always go back to the Snyder years? Thank you, Stephen H. This just kind of came up in the middle of my conversation with Scott McLuhan because we were talking about Jalen Lane, the fourth round pick from Virginia Tech. And Scott said, reminds me of Jamison Crowder. Jalen Lane did, and he kind of giggled a little bit. He said he's faster than Jamison was coming out, but reminds him a lot of Crowder. Remember, Crowder was the punt returner last year when he was up and available, and I think Jalen Lane right now for this team is the number one punt returner on their roster. You know, unless something happens and he's not what they think, you know, he's going to be, he was the number one punt returner on their board. I had somebody tell me that, and I shared that with you guys last week. But anyway, the conversation, I turned towards Crowder because I remember that 2015 draft. Remember, that was his first draft in Washington. You know, one of the things I think we've learned about McLuhan's short reign here in Washington, he was not like a fully functioning general manager in the sense that he was in charge of contracts and trades and hiring coaches, firing coaches. His responsibility was the draft. That's what he did very well, and he was proven as a guy who had a very good talent evaluating eye in San Francisco prior to coming here, in Seattle prior to coming here. And, you know, if you recall, coming off the 2014 season, that was the infamous winning off the field Bruce Allen comment on the closing press conference of the year, and he got so much backlash from that he felt like he had to deflect a little bit and hire somebody to make it look like somebody else was involved. And the truth is that, you know, Bruce's strength wasn't the draft. It wasn't personnel. It was contracts to a certain degree. It was more on the administrative side. So Scott comes in 2015. He drafts Brandon Scherff at number five in the first round. That's his first pick. They take Preston Smith in that second round of the draft. They took Matt Jones. He saw Matt Jones as a potential star running back. That never materialized. And then in the fourth round, he took Crowder. That was the year, though, that Stephon Diggs went in the fifth round, a round later, to Minnesota overall. So I did ask him about, you know, why not Diggs? You know, that 2015 draft, just because I'm a Maryland guy, I was screaming Diggs. And I know he had been hurt, and there were some injuries, and, you know, with Stephon, there were some issues too, you know, off the field and character wise and the whole thing. But
if I could tell you the story, I would, but I can't do it on radio.
I think that there were a lot of stories probably circulating about him. So was he just a guy that you didn't want to take the chance on, but, you know, because of the other stuff, not football stuff?
Yes, I was told I couldn't by the owner. He was sitting next to me when the scout told me about him.
And the owner, dude, once again, lobbed in
everything.
It lobbed in his expertise, right?
Correct. He's like, we can't draft him. I'm like, dude, why did you say it in front of the owner? Let me game plan, because I wanted Diggs. He was the highest rated guy on my board at the time.
He really was. Wow.
Yep.
I don't think you've ever told me that. So you're saying in the fourth round when you took Crowder, he was the highest rated player on your board?
No. Diggs was the highest. But I couldn't take Diggs.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, was that in the fourth round when you got to the Crowder pick? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And Jay wanted no part of him. Zero.
Oh, man.
Believe in me, man. This guy's going to be a good player.
Yeah, and he turned out to be a pretty good player. Also turned out to be a bit of a headache at times for various quarterbacks on various teams over the years. But there was a lot, to be fair, about Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs was actually a first, second-round talent in that 2015 draft. I mean, you could argue he was a first-round talent, but he had a lot of injuries at Maryland, and there was a lot of the other stuff that clearly scared some teams away, but, you know, has had one hell of an NFL career, that's for sure, even though he got injured really for the first time in his career, right? Last year was pretty much the first time Stephon Diggs has been seriously injured and lost a lot of games in an NFL season. But I think, you know, one of the I got a ton of feedback on that Scott McLuhan interview, and a lot of feedback as much as anything else on that part of the conversation on Stephon Diggs, and people once again being, look at what we missed out on because of the owner. But keep in mind, it wasn't Snyder's opinion. It was the scout's opinion. You know, to be fair, the scout was the one that said, you can't draft this guy based on some of the things that we, you know about him. And Snyder just happened to have been there in that moment. You know, McLuhan hardly had a spotless draft record, you know, here. I mean, we know what happened, you know, in the with the Josh Doctson selection for sure, the Sua Cravens selection. So there were some, you know, intangible related elements to some of the picks that they made that perhaps they should have taken into consideration a little bit more, because Doctson, Cravens at the top of the 2016 draft, you can't go 1-2 first round and not get a player that contributes, you know, in that draft. Now, I know who they wanted in that draft. They were absolutely sure that Alabama center Ryan Kelly was going to be there when they were scheduled to select at first at 21 overall, but he went to Indianapolis a couple of picks before, and then they were in, you know, desperation mode trying to pick among the receivers. God, that is a draft, by the way, when you go back and look at it. It just, and this is the nature of the NFL draft. It's not just our team. You know, the receivers in the first round of that draft were Corey Coleman at 15 overall from Baylor, Will Fuller at 21 overall from Notre Dame. By the way, that was Fuller went to Houston, and they traded up a spot with Washington. Josh Doctson at 22 overall, and Laquon Treadwell at 23 overall. Four first-round picks that all ended up being major NFL busts. But then you go to the rest of that draft. Michael Thomas, second round of that draft. Tyreek Hill in the fifth round of that draft. DeMarcus Robinson was selected in that draft, and he's still playing. Didn't he just get a decent-sized deal in the offseason? Did he just sign with San Francisco from L.A.? Did he just go from the Rams to San Francisco, DeMarcus Robinson? I think he did. Yeah. All right. Yesterday's NBA Game 7, I wanted to talk about just a little bit. I was really fired up. I was watching the golf, too, but I was really fired up, and I really wanted Denver to win, even though I've been saying that I think Oklahoma City is the best team, and I think they're going to win the NBA title, and I still feel that way. You know, it's experience that typically wins out, not this postseason, in part because of injuries, Steph going down in Golden State. I think Golden State would have had a chance to win that series had Steph been healthy against Minnesota. I'm not sure they would have, but I think they could have. Yesterday in Game 7, Aaron Gordon played for Denver, but he was clearly compromised, and that was a big injury on two very experienced teams. And then Boston, an NBA champion, lost Jason Tatum. So, you know, the teams with championship experience in the postseason had some injuries, you know, that definitely factored into their exits. But yesterday's Game 7 in Oklahoma City, there are several things from this game. Number one, the better team won. The better team, the deeper team won. They have been the most impressive team of the of the postseason so far, in my opinion. God, they are deep. They have a superstar in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, who started off looking very tight yesterday, ended up going for 35 in Game 7. Didn't even play much of the fourth quarter because it was a blowout. They've got a big 7-1 guy in Chet Holmgren, who is unbelievably versatile. Jalen Williams is a borderline star. Lou Dort's about as tough as anybody comes in the NBA defensively. They got Jalen Williams, another Jalen Williams. Yeah, there are two Jalen Williamses on Oklahoma City. Aaron Wiggins, and then, my God, Alex Caruso coming off the bench. He's got championship experience. He was on that Laker COVID bubble championship team. Oklahoma City's so good. If they win the title, I was trying to figure this out. I think I have this right. If they win the title, they'll become the fourth pro sports team to win a championship without a plural team nickname. I'm pretty sure I have this right. The Miami Heat, the Colorado Avalanche, and the Tampa Bay Lightning have all won championships without a plural nickname, an S at the end. I guess Red Sox, White Sox, but I'm not counting those two. And so the Oklahoma City Thunder would be the fourth to do that, if you're interested. They leveled Denver yesterday. They were the better team, they're the deeper team, and they played much better. But I do have to mention this about the game. Oklahoma City's defense is awesome. They won 68 games. They were the best defensive team in the league. They've been the best defensive team in the postseason. Man, they are up on the ball. They defend off the ball. It is hard to get any sort of room whatsoever. But yeah, yesterday's officiating, if you watch this game, they literally mugged Nikola Jokic from start to finish. They, you know, they doubled him. They tripled him at times. They hacked him. They bumped him. They grabbed him. They held him. Now, they put him at the free throw line early in the game. He ended up shooting 11 free throws, and I think all 11 or certainly 9 of them came in the first half. But it was not, I don't think, fairly officiated. It was not determining in the game. I'm not suggesting that at all. Oklahoma City, much better team, much deeper team. And that's really where their greatness is. They're great on defense, and they are a deep basketball team. And Denver had no bench. Russell Westbrook, let me just get that out of the way. I'm sorry, because I used to love him. I used to love Russell Westbrook. He just doesn't know how to play basketball when the game slows down and becomes a half-court game. His IQ in a half-court playoff-style basketball game is probably the lowest of any player I've watched in the pros, in the postseason. And I love his effort. He's 100 miles per hour. He tries so hard. He is good defensively. He crashes the glass. He just can't slow himself down, ever. It's 1,000 miles an hour, and it just doesn't work in the postseason. His shooting is so horrendously awful at times. He made 2 threes, and the other threes were all air balls. He clanks things off the glass. He throws passes that hit people in the head when they're not looking. It's unpleasant to watch. And then to see him hustle and make a great defensive play or grab an offensive rebound he makes plays, but it's 2-1 bad to good. His plus minus in the game yesterday was minus 34. Now, it was minus for everybody when you get beat by 33 points, but he's literally even money on every possession to commit a turnover. So they had no bench. Denver didn't, and you just tough to win 4 out of 7 without a bench against Oklahoma City. They had a shot, man. They had their shots in Game 4 and in Game 5, games that were very winnable. And when they didn't get one of those, they were destined for this 7th and deciding game, and it was just rough. And Aaron Gordon played bravely and courageously. He just wasn't the same player. Michael Porter Jr. was injured throughout the postseason, or in the last, in this past series, at the end of last series, could not shoot at all. And Jamal Murray didn't post in Game 7. He was really worn down by Oklahoma City's defense. So Jokic, though, man, good God. I mean, he was hacked, held, pushed, shoved, smacked. And Caruso's a great player. Love it. They went with basically the smallest guy that they have guarding Jokic. 6'4", 6'5" Caruso. He's one hell of a competitor, that's for sure. Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and then Indiana and New York. The Knicks annihilated the Celtics on Friday night. We get no game tonight. We get the West to start tomorrow night, the East to start on Wednesday night. I actually like Oklahoma City. I think Minnesota's good. Don't get me wrong. I think Minnesota's got a shot in this series, but I like Oklahoma City to win this series. I think they're the best team standing. They're a heavy favorite, by the way, to win the title. I was looking at the odds to win the championship right now. Oklahoma City is minus 180. The Knicks are next at plus 475. The T-Wolves at plus 650, the Pacers at plus 700. I actually like an Oklahoma City-Indiana final. I think Indiana's got a legit shot to beat the Knicks. I'll tell you what, the league's not looking forward to Oklahoma City-Indiana in the final. Speaking of Indiana, Caitlin Clark in the Indiana Fever, I guess, opened up the season on Saturday, and there was a lot of controversy as she and Angel Reese, her longtime nemesis, got into it. Give you my thoughts on that to finish up the show next.
All right, we have some breaking news. The Philadelphia Eagles and head coach Nick Sirianni have agreed to a multi-year extension. More details to come, but that is the news right now. The Nats, they finish off the sweep in Baltimore as they beat the O's 10-4. Nats finished 6-1 against the O's this season. C.J. Abrams with two home runs, his first multi-home run game of the season. Two game sevens this weekend, neither of which were particularly close. The Nuggets get throttled by the Oklahoma City Thunder, 125-93. And the Panthers shred the Leafs 6-1 in Game 7 to advance to the Eastern Conference Final. Lastly, Scottie Scheffler added another trophy to his mantle after finishing 11-under to win the PGA Championship on Sunday. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10-1 and Craig Hoffman from 4-7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter. It'll just make the final margin five. Scottie Scheffler wins in a runaway in the showdown at Charlotte.
Scheffler wins his third major, a five-shot victory going away. It got tight there on the front heading to the back nine with John Rahm, but Rahm kind of fell apart, missed a couple of putts, and then hit one into the water. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, your two major champions so far. Rory finished 47th, tied for 47th, shooting three over. Congrats to our guy Denny McCarthy, who ended up with a top 10 finish in a major, shooting four under at Quail Hollow. There is a conversation to be had about Scottie Scheffler, and I'll save it for tomorrow, but he is one of the most unassuming champions and greats in sports, and we'll talk about tomorrow whether or not there are some comps for Scottie Scheffler. Meantime, the WNBA got underway yesterday, Saturday, I guess, and Chicago faced Indiana. That's Angel Reese against Caitlin Clark. And there was a play that got a lot of attention over the weekend. I saw it trending on Twitter as the number one trend there at one point on Saturday. I'm like, wait a minute. We got the Preakness. We got the PGA Championship. But no, it was all about, you know, the WNBA, which, by the way, they got to love this kind of stuff. Caitlin Clark hard fouled Angel Reese after Angel Reese totally pushed an Indiana Fever player out of the way on an offensive rebound. And as she went back up, Caitlin Clark smacked her, you know, going for the ball over her arms, stopped her from scoring an easy bucket and made her go to the free throw line. I think as basketball fans, we see that play all the time. Well, Angel Reese got up, sort of went after Caitlin Clark. They assessed Caitlin Clark a flagrant one, and then Reese and is it Aaliyah Boston, I think her name is, she stepped in, stopped Reese from going after Caitlin Clark. They were both assessed technical fouls. So a big hullabaloo made about this on Twitter, and then I watched it, and I to be honest with you, I'm like, you know, we see this all the time in the NBA. Even the Angel Reese reaction we see. And then, you know, it's time to move on, which is what both players said. Now, there was apparently a lot of hateful fan comments directed towards Angel Reese in particular. Racist comments as well. And the WNBA strongly condemn that, as they should. But the play itself got much more attention than it should have, although I guess it's clearly because there is this, you know, rivalry between these two players. Caitlin Clark's team beat the Chicago team by 35 points, and Caitlin Clark had a triple-double. She went for 20, 10, and 10, and also had four block shots and two steals. She's pretty good, if you haven't noticed. She may have been on the Olympic team last year if somebody with a brain was handling the decision. If the adults had been in charge, she would have been on the Olympic team last year. But I didn't have any problem with the foul. I don't even have a problem with Angel Reese's reaction. You know, people will get hard fouled all the time, jump up like that, and react that way. I did want to mention before I head off for the day that tonight, Tommy has his annual Cigars and Curveballs fundraiser. This is going to be held, and I'm going to be there, and I'd invite all of you to come down there. It's 6 to 8 p.m., Shelley's Back Room, 1331 F Street Northwest. It's a $100 donation. You get three cigars, appetizers, and you get to take part in an auction where one of the items tonight will be an autographed Sean Taylor jersey. You can go to dcgrays.com to purchase tickets, or you can purchase tickets at the door. 6 to 8 p.m. tonight for Tom Lavero's Tommy's Cigars and Curveballs fundraiser. It's become a great event. Mike Rizzo shows up every year. A lot of people, Doc will be there. A lot of us will be there. Looking forward to it as always. So come on out. Some really good auction items this year. 6 to 8, Shelley's Back Room, 1331 F Street, Northwest. All right, done for the day. Linnell's in for Chris. He's up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.